Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 40, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vrajan Tishthan Pada Ekena Yatha Eva Ekena Gacchati Yata Trina Jalauka Evam Dehi Karma Gatim Gataha Vrajan Tishtan Padaikena. Yatai vaikena gacchati, yata churna jalau kaivam, dehi karma gatingataha, vrajangs tishthan padaikena. Yatai vaikena gacchati, yata churna jalau kaivam, dehi karma gatingataha. Ladies, please. Vrajan, a person while traveling on the road. Tishtan, while standing. Pada, ekena, on one foot. Yatha, as. Eva, indeed. Ekena, by another foot. Gacchati, goes yatha as churna jalauka, a worm on a vegetable. Evam, in this way. Dehi, the living entity. Karma, gatim, the reactions of fruitive activities. Gataha, undergoes. Just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. Purport. This is the process of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. At the time of death, according to his mental condition, the living being is carried by the subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego to another gross body. When higher authorities have decided what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up his previous body. Dull-minded persons, too, do not have the intelligence to understand this process of transmigration. Take for granted that when the gross body is finished, one's life is finished forever. Such persons have no brains with which to understand the process of transmigration. At the present moment, there is great opposition to the Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Because of their devilish brains, they will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditional life of material existence. How this transmigration of the soul takes place is very clearly explained in the next verse. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghuna tanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutang parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitams Cha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vasudev continues instructing Kamsa in the ABCs of spiritual knowledge of which Kamsa was aware, presumably, but he wasn't thinking about it much. He didn't think of, by doing this I'll get some reaction. That's the attitude of a demon, Ishvaroham. He thinks that I can just do what I like and get away with it. I'm in control. The illusion of Maya, especially if someone has a very strong body or a very influential position, they tend to think that I can just do what I like and get away with it. The saying is there, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, which is not necessarily true. It's generally true in this material world, but if someone has a pure heart, then they don't become corrupted. If they're above corruption, they don't become corrupted. If the seed of corruption is in the heart, one has the opportunity to indulge in that, then it's quite possible that one will do so. We have heard already in the Bhagavatam, because it's not completely chronological, about Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was a saintly king. The saintly king has power, but he's restrained by the brahmanas. Here Vasudeva is giving spiritual knowledge. It's not generally the position of a kshatriya to give spiritual knowledge, but anyone may do so. It's not restricted. And especially in a situation where there's no one else at hand to do so. There would have been brahmanas there chanting mantras for auspiciousness. But Vasudeva took it in his own hands to do so. We see also that Krishna had Yudhishthira hear from Bhishma, even though or he himself, as a kshatriya, spoke to Arjuna, even though Vyasadeva was present in the world. So, according to the circumstance he spoke, the verses which we just heard prior to this, they've practically match word, but not exactly word by word, but concept by concept. They match exactly with those, with some of those in Bhagavad Gita. Here, Vasudeva gives an analogy, or two closely related analogies, to show how transmigration of the soul takes place, and he will continue to do so in the next verse, and then he'll talk about how karma acts, because it can be this is just like Kamsa, he's feeling very powerful. What the hell? What does it matter? All this karma and stuff. If Yamaraj comes, I'll kill him too. He may think like that, or he may think, I can defy everything. The tendency to think in terms of the immediate and not in the long term is very, very much symptomatic of Rajoguna, influenced by Tamoguna. In Rajoguna, with some influence of Sattvaguna, one may think of future prospects, but in just like planning for a battle or planning how I can get ahead in life. So planning to do something which will ultimately give him sense gratification, gross or subtle, but not just impulsively. Impulsiveness is rajoguna without any checking whatsoever. Just, if it feels good, do it. A very foolish idea. People who are less intelligent are impelled by the, if it feels good, do it. Even they're materially less intelligent. They can't. There's so much on the platform of prayer, what is immediately pleasing to me, that they cannot think in terms of Shreyas, which is of ultimate benefit. And then we come to Nishreyas, the ultimate benefit, which is beyond anything in this world. Arjuna, Krishna chastised him because he wasn't thinking in terms of the philosophy of life. He was identifying himself as a kshatriya, and what is his duty in this situation? But then he saw that there's conflicting duty. I have to fight. I'm called here to fight. That's my duty. But it's also my duty not to fight with my superiors. It's also my duty not to kill my family members. And he said, what is that? Kim bhogai jivite nava. How will we enjoy if, even if we stay alive, if we manage to survive, yesham arte kankshitam, no. If we're not alive for the persons who we like to live with, for all this kingdom, why do we have it? We like to enjoy it with our family members, and if they're all dead, then what's the value in being alive? That's called a Pyrrhic victory. You win the battle, but everything is destroyed. So there's nothing much to enjoy once it's all over. Both sides are the losers. But Krishna chastised Arjuna for thinking in terms of what I want. For Arjuna, he was thinking what I, Arjuna, want, instead of thinking what Krishna wants, or even what is my actual duty. Arjuna didn't stop to think that there's so many Kshatriyas on the battlefield, and including Bhishma, Drona, who are his gurus, and they are not backing out of the fight thinking that it's adharmic. So he wants to instruct Bhagavan himself, and Vyasa is present, not directly in the armies, but Arjuna suddenly has become a great philosopher who can tell everyone what to do. And what to do, you should all stop fighting. Make love, not war. That used to be the symbol, hippie days. This is the 10th canto, the smiling face of the Lord. But it starts off with some basic philosophy. And there's so much to be considered in this basic philosophy. I just made a few notes this morning, which I'll try to read as I jotted them down quickly and all over the place. That means I write something, then I write something else, and then I say, well, I should have written, so it's all over the place. But anyway, Krishna chastised Arjuna. Anarya joshtam asvargam akirti karam Arjuna. In other words, he said, you're not acting in a manner which is suitable for an Arya. And Srila Prabhupada comments that an Arya is one who knows the higher values of life. So it's not suitable for you. It doesn't lead to swarga. You're thinking about happiness. How can I be happy if I kill all my kinsmen? You're thinking about happiness? Well, a kshatriya goes into battle. Swarga dwaram apavritam. On the battlefield, the doors to the heavenly worlds are open. The kshatriya doesn't just see he's fighting, but he thinks, if I die, I'll go to heaven. So that's what you're saying. You're saying of happiness. Well, by acting like this, you'll not only not get happiness in this life, but you'll also mess up all your chances of going to swarga, if that's what you're interested in. Anarajashtam aswargam and akirti karam arjuna. And then you're going to be scorned by everyone. I made a note this morning, just now actually, before coming here. Even a lifetime of heroic deeds, Arjuna had prior to this had a lifetime of heroic deeds, become forgotten if one once acts as a coward. That we have that sambhavitasya cha kirtir maranam atirichyate. Worse than death for one who has been honored is to be dishonored. That's the cruel way of the world. We see in our Krishna consciousness movement also, someone can do so much service for so many years, they do something wrong and they're thrown on the garbage heap. That's the way the world works. Krishna's being practical. Speaking about the practical realities of this world. Anyway, some other notes I wrote this morning. By saying Anarya Jushta, Krishna indicates that not only Arjuna, but any person interested in the higher goals of life should act according to Shastra. Shastra Pramanam, Karya Karyo Vyavastito, should act according to Shastra, and should not allow his Shastra-based understanding to be overcome by lower emotions. Anarya Jushta also indicates that the whole of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna has now started speaking is meant not only for Arjuna, but for all high-minded, idealistic people. And everyone should be at that standard. Those who are not, those who are not at that standard are those who are not at that standard are condemnable for misusing their life by stating klaibhyam masmagama in the context of anarya jushtam. It's not the same verse, but it's the same sentence. Krishna indicates that anyone not interested in higher ideals is condemnable for misusing their life. And that we have in the, there's that purport where Srila Prabhupada quotes Yajnavalkya speaking to Gargi, who is a kripana, one who misuses his human life. And then some more, by saying kashmalam, klaibhyangma kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam, Krishna implies that one's status as an Aryan or pundit, and then with, again we're thinking of the what is that? Nanu shochanti panditaha. Pandits don't think like that or speak, they don't lament like that. So one whose one status as an Aryan or pundit is not a matter of posturing. In other words, just saying I'm a Brahmin, I'm an Aryan, I'm a pundit. Big words. But is tested in the field of life, especially in intense situations. A person who talks big words becomes scorned if he fails to live up to them when tested. And then again we get sambhavitasyachakyate, maranad atirichyate. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that we discuss one verse of Bhagavatam every day. But actually, you could discuss one verse, every verse, for your whole life. There's so much. It's so much in every verse. But we have to go on verse by verse by verse. Even if we give the same verse to 10 different devotees to speak on, and they'll remaining within the subject matter, they'll all unpack it in different ways, quite likely. Because there's so much that even you can take one word, Srila Prabhupada said, every line, every word, Srila Prabhupada spoke like that. What did he say? Is beneficial for human society. We have also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Tula Bhagavat Bibhu Sharva Shray. What's the next line? Prati shloke prati akare nana artakoi. That Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna, on the same level as Krishna. All powerful and can give shelter to everyone. In every verse, in every syllable, there are so many meanings. So much to say. And we find that the acharyas, their insights, I've been reading Banu Maharaj's translation of the Dashama Tippani, Brihad Vaishnav Toshani, 10th canto, commentary on Bhagavatam. So Kaliya is biting Krishna and Sanatana Goswami because he is Mahabhagavat. He sees everyone as a pure devotee. Says that Kaliya is biting Krishna out of love, like a lover bites another, out of prem. Who would think of that? Janmadya Sayaton Vyad, then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur sees in that Adi Rasa. So he explains the whole Janmadya Sayataha verse in terms of Krishna Prem of the gopis for Krishna. Who would see such a... But that's what he sees, because he sees everywhere, and he sees not just Krishna, but he sees Vrindavan and the gopis and Radharani. It's unlimited. It's Bhagavatam is Krishna. We don't know what we're doing when we're distributing them. People, they haven't got a... They don't know what they're getting. And we also don't know what we're giving. All we know is that we should. But we do get... We have some idea. We're not completely ignorant, because we do study. But however much idea we have, however big a pundit we may be in studying Bhagavata, we can hardly begin to touch the subject, because Krishna is unlimited. Who can understand Krishna? But he gives us Shastra so we can understand him. It's a, how would you say that? It's a quandary or a riddle that Krishna says that Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanvitaha. I'm the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. Those who know this, those who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service. They worship me in my devotional service. But who can know? We have quoted in the same Bhagavad Gita that nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. You can't understand it. Well, and then we have bhakti mama bijanati. I can be understood by bhakti. But how much can we understand? We can understand to this level that Krishna is the source of everything. But even that's theoretical. How can we understand that Krishna is the source of everything? Because we can't accommodate everything in our minds. We can't even accommodate Salem in our minds. How could you possibly know about everyone in Salem and what they do, what their job is, who their relatives are, what their attitude to life is? It's beyond our ability to understand almost even anything, what to speak of everything. So then why study Bhagavatam? Ultimately we study, well, we had that I was quoting, is it Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati, that our faith in Krishna will increase, feelings for Krishna, and then ultimately love for Krishna. But it's not a matter of knowledge only. It is and it isn't. We find acharyas who are commenting on Bhagavatam, they're so learned. You can't write a commentary without being very learned. You have to refer to other shastras, and it should be immersion in shastra. Shabde param chanishnatam. Shabde pare chanishnatam. One should be absorbed, bathed, plunged in shastra. But it's not simply a matter of knowledge, of knowing so many things. But because the shastra is non-different from Krishna, then one can get more and more insights about Krishna, which they can share with others. Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katiyantas chamang nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. It's not those who are devotees, they enlighten and enliven each other by discussing Krishna among themselves. Krishna, who we know in this world, we know Krishna through Shastra and through chanting his holy names and by serving Krishna and serving the devotees, then we feel Krishna's reciprocation. But persons like Kamsa are completely cut off from all of this. They may have some shastric knowledge, but they're cut off. We see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He would talk with big scholars like Savabhaum Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, big scholars. Prakashananda was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's just wandering around the streets with these low-class people, chanting their holy names. What's the use of all your Shastric knowledge if you don't go around the street chanting the holy name? Well, in being a highly respected, scholarly sannyasi, dried out, no life, no juice, no rasa. Where's the rasa in just studying Vedanta and thinking that I am one with God? It's just completely dry. That's the message of the Bhagavatam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cited to the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi. Evang vrata sapriyanama kirtya jatanuraga chitta druta uchai. Next line. Rudanti, I don't remember. Anyone? Unmadavan richiti lokabhayaha. That's the last line. I forgot the third line. As usual, I forget some of my shlokas. So the idea is that someone who's very absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna, Krishna is very dear to that person, and chants the holy name, which is very dear to him. whose feelings for Krishna have awakened. And they've awakened his whole consciousness. Then, I'm still trying to remember the third line. You're looking for it? Anyway, Unmadavan, he's just like a madman. He dances and chants and doesn't care for outsiders. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was being criticized by the Mayavadi sannyasis for doing what the Bhagavatam told him to, and specifically what his guru had quoted to him this verse, saying that this is the essence of all the scriptures. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. This is the essence. So this is what you should be doing. And that's a very strong praman. If someone comes to you and says, where is the Shastra praman? Where is the Shastra praman? My guru told me to do it. Guru Agya is very powerful, very strong. That we find also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's quoted from Raghu Vansha, one of the dramas, that Rama is speaking to Sita that our guru has ordered. We have to do. We have to go to the forest. There'll be good fortune for us. Going to the forest? Where's the good fortune? No, a guru ordered. It's contradictory to our logic, contra logic. But if we do it, it must be good, because the guru ordered. Of course, if you get some guru like that guy in Coimbatore, or in Bangalore, you have another one. He's eclipsed by the Coimbatore one. And there are so many bogus gurus. Then you're in trouble. You got that verse, you found it, the third line. What is the third line? Hasati. Hasatyato rodati roti gayatyun madhavan rodati loka. Yeah. He's such a person. He chants, he laughs, he cries, he calls out. Who does that in the streets? Madman. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Prakashananda that this is it. When you stop being a dried up, like a bone, Mayavadi, sitting there very respectable, high class, sannyasi, brahmana. Even the Savabhoma, he said, Bharati, he took sannyas, this Chaitanya, he took sannyas, Bharati. Took sannyas as a Bharati. That's not very high class. And Gopinath Acharya, what nonsense this man is speaking. But his hint, to him it seemed very real. He's lower class sannyasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he came in the association of, the picture's there, right? Came in the association of the Mayavadis in Benares. So, why are you sitting in that dirty place? Wherever he washed his feet and then he sat down in that contaminated place. Shuno Sripad Ami Hoi Hino Sampradai. Toma Shonge Boshite Amina Jurai. Sripad, oh, most respectable person. I'm of a lower sampradaya. I'm not suitable to sit in your company. It's maybe a little bit of sarcasm in there also. I'm not high enough to sit with all of you. They're very learned in Shastra. Very, very, more learned than any of us will ever be. Actually, maybe some of the Gurukul boys, if they don't fiddle around with their fingers in the class and actually listen to it, they might become somewhat learned. It's a bit too much for Gurukul boys, I guess. But anyway, by practice, they can pick it up. By practice, by listening, sitting and listening, these. So, yeah, it's unlikely we're going to be so learned, so strict, so fixed in following so many regulated principles. But that's not our aim. Our aim is to chant and dance and sing and chant Hare Krishna and be happy and spread it to others. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing. And then you have Kamsa. He was never going to do that, not until he came back as Chankazi. He had to come another time still. Then he could. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful. Most merciful, because he gives love of Krishna even to persons who are not in the slightest bit qualified, who are disqualified. So we should try to do the same. Distribute the books. Chanting, public chanting, is so important also. So important. That question comes, well, people, they get the books, but they don't read them. But yeah, we should go out in public and chant, and then people will. They'll hear the holy name. They'll understand there's something very important here. In the Western countries also, if they see us once chanting in the streets, they'll think we're a bunch of madmen, a bunch of nutcases. Oh, nowadays it's a little different. Because to be unconventional is quite respectable in the Western countries. Well, quite accepted, at least. But if you keep on doing it day after day after day, that really impressed people in London, and starting in the early 1970s, that can be, not can be, it is cold in London in the winter, and often there's rain and wind and sleet and snow, and devotees would be out there chanting. Even hardly anyone would be on the street because they'd all be hiding away from the weather, but they'd be out there. People came to appreciate that. Well, they may be mad, but whatever they're doing, they're really committed to it. And you're telling me now that now devotees in London, at least, they're respected. So we should keep on doing it. Keep on going, keep on chanting, so much work to do just to give this basic knowledge. You're not the body. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We have to keep on saying it and keep on saying it and keep on saying it to ourselves and to others. Kamsa, he could understand theoretically, I'm not the body, but he couldn't act on that platform because he's of demoniac nature. Very, very tough to get through to. Later, as Chankasi, he got the chance that when there's no hope for anyone whatsoever, there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the other avatars, he was killed already as Kalanemi, then he got killed again as Kamsa. Last chance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will deliver. And then what happens to Ramchandra Khan, who is an offender to Nityananda, to Haridas Thakur and to Nityananda, becomes a very, very dangerous position. If with the most munificent avatar, and even then you're offensive and don't repent, becomes a very, very dangerous position. Here we have, is it at the end of this chapter? That verse is there, mistreating great souls. That verse, there's so much purport. Oh, these are notes. Where is that verse? One who mistreats great souls. Again, I'm asking all of you. Or is it at the end of the second chapter? There's prayers by the demigods. One who mistreats great souls, then their lifespan, their good fortune, everything is destroyed. I don't think Srila Prabhupada even gives a purport of that. Anyone can look it up? Anyway, that was said in relation to Kamsa, was it not? Anyway, that's the gist of it, that anyone who mistreats great souls, their lifespan, their good fortune, their good name, everything is destroyed. Oh, is it chapter 4, the atrocities of Kamsa? I don't remember. See, we don't know, do we? We're supposed to know the books like the law books. End of chapter 4, yeah, okay. The last verse in chapter 4. Ayu, lifespan, Shriyam, here translated as beauty, Yasho, Yashaha, fame, reputation, Dharmam, Lokan, I'll read the verse. Ayu, Shriyam, Yasho, Dharmam, Lokan, Ashisha, Evacha, Hanti, Shayangsi, Saravani, Pungso, Mahad, Atikramaha. Shukdev speaking to Parikshit says, My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So that was the case with Kamsa. Madhurena samapayat. Think of something sweet to say. Hare Krishna! Any question?
Can we say in the last 2-3 verses, in the first verse he started, Kamsa, Vasudeva started glorifying, indirectly, it was very diplomatic way of saying,
yeah.
Veera, he just started telling his Veera, and then he starts giving him, from the basic instructions, he says.
Yeah, and indirectly points out, and he's a rascal. Yeah, that's the same, isn't it? That Dante Nitaya Trunakang Padaya Nipatya Kritvata Kaku Shatamaitad Ahambravimi. I'm coming with a straw in my teeth. You're a great Hey Sadhava, you're such a great person. I have a humble entreaty to you. Give up all this hogwash nonsense and surrender at the lotus feet. Dante. Hey Sadhava, sakala eva vihaya durat. Whatever nonsense ideas you have, throw them out a long way away. Gauranga Chandra Charane Kurutana Raga, and become attached to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So it's the same. It wasn't invented by Prabodhananda Saraswati. It's a long-standing preaching technique. Same when you distribute books. Oh, you look like a very spiritual person. That's what you said to the last person also. I heard you. No, Mahotsaha in America, he often says that. You look like a very spiritual person. And many people say, oh, that's a good sign, isn't it? That at least they're thinking of being spiritual and they take it as a compliment. That's pretty good, isn't it? What happens in Finland if you go to someone and say, you look like a very spiritual person? They just walk past you, is it, in most cases? Not you, because you have such a commanding persona. He's an army man. He can just look at people and they'll stop.
Your disciple Chaitanyananda, he find the way how to stop them. He shake their hands because he was strong like, you know, policeman's son is. So
He is built like this.
So. They couldn't get, and he said, nice to meet you.
He wouldn't let
nice
them go after shaking their hands.
So he became best book distributor.
There are all kinds of techniques. And my godbrother, Kaliapani Prabhu, he used to stop people. He'd be standing here, people would be walking fast. You've seen, they were, bah, 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 they're walking so fast in London. He'd wait until they're one step past him and say, excuse me, do you speak English? And in England, everyone speaks English. Not nowadays, but it used to be. And they think someone wants some help, and they'd turn around and come back, and then he'd give them a book. All kinds of techniques. Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Charkripa Sindhubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Dante Nidaya Trunakang Padiyone Patakrit Vacha Kakushatam Eta Dahambravimi He Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihayadura Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutanura Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makarona vayang vicharayana. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilu tama natama nirvisha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna.